You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702 World of Work.
It's going to be an open line on labor matters. Give us a call on 011-883-0702. You are anxious about many aspects of labor right now, and it's a good opportunity to see how much advice we can give you, courtesy of Natasha Money, who is from Money Attorneys Incorporated. So give us a quick call, fastest fingers first, all matters labor, 011-883-0702. Natasha, our fave, how are you?
Really well, how are you?
There are good days and bad days. Today's a good day. Also a quirky day. We had a segment the other day on weird dreams. I've been having many weird dreams during the lockdown. I was saying to the listeners at 9 o'clock this morning, I woke up in the middle of a dream when I was friends with Prince Harry and we were about to go have breakfast, and then I woke up. How are you doing?
Under the circumstances, okay. I have obviously not, I have been working, but working from the confines of my house, which is okay. I'm trying to be a stay-at-home mom at the same time and teach my children lessons and then also cook, clean. It's one of those things. We are all in it together, I suppose.
Yeah. Listen, the line's already going crazy. I almost feel like we're going to need an hour for this one. Let's get straight into the substantive issues as well. Immediately, we're currently running a message from the Minister of Labor encouraging employers to please, pretty please, with a cherry on top, make sure that they actually apply to UIF to get some relief. I mean, I can't understand why on earth employers wouldn't do that.
Well, it's not that they didn't do it and wouldn't do it. I think from the very beginning, there was uncertainty as to who was supposed to do it. Okay. Employees thought that they were supposed to do it. But in actual fact, employers were supposed to do it. And then in terms of attempting to do it, it became really difficult. And so there was a 17-step process that one had to do in order to claim. And somehow Excel was supposed to translate into CSV. Mm. Yes, the low number of employers have partaken in the TERS fund, which is a pity. But they still have time to do it. It's not like it's going to fall away. Mm. So if they have not made a plan to do it yet, they can still do it. Let me go to those people or employers who have not paid UIF.
Yeah.
You need to pay it. If you do not pay it, what will happen is that interest and penalties will be allotted on top of that, and your employees will not be paid out. Mm. So this is a good time to go back and do the administration that you have meant to be done. Mm. The employees have, there has been a deduction for UIF anyway. So holding on to the UIF is actually a criminal offense. The Labor Department has said that they're not going to, it's almost like the sins of the father are not going to be placed on the employee. So the sins of the employer are not going to be placed on the employee, but still, it is your responsibility and duty towards all your employees. And what we have said, right the way through Eusebius, when we first started talking about this, is this is all about leadership.
Yeah.
If you fail to lead, then you are not the CEO for the future, and you are not the CEO or the MD that can lead us past COVID-19. I'm beginning to hear things such as COVID-19 will become like flu. So it's going to come back every year. So we need to be careful as to how we open up and the new provisions that we're going to put in place in the workplace in order to keep our employees safe. So the Occupational Health and Safety Act is now should be front and foremost in every leader's mind as to how we're going to conduct business from here on in.
Absolutely.
I've also heard that PRASA failed to pay the proceeds to the pension fund to the value of 23 million rand. So even if you have failed or you have started some sort of mechanism to try and save costs That's not where you start. That will seriously inhibit the country if you start doing that. Mm. It is also a criminal offense, for which directors of companies will be held liable. Do not do it. It is again a poor leadership decision. There have been many poor leadership decisions by companies who normally have phenomenal corporate responsibility programs. And I just don't think that they understand that just one bad leadership decision now will wipe all the fantastic corporate responsibility programs that they have been doing in the past. We're looking at now. So, pay your rent if rent is due and you have been an essential service and you've been making money, so that those people who have not been able to make money and who will still not be able to produce or generate income during lockdown four, that at least they then have the ability not to pay rent.
Absolutely.
I think that it's not the time for being selfish. Mm.
Margaret, good morning. Thank you for calling us.
Is it me, Margaret?
Yeah, Bo, what question have you got?
Hello. Okay. On the 16th of April, we submitted as a company to the COVID UR19 URF claim. According to the TERS, nine forms, all our information, all everything, our application was accepted. And up until now, to date, we've not heard anything. I have sent three emails since then asking for a response, what's happening. Our staff are crying. We've done our side of it, but nothing is happening from the URF department. So, and the minister keeps crying that the people aren't submitting. We've submitted, but nothing's happening.
Mm.
What more can we do other than sending our application plus three more emails subsequently? What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, thanks for that question, Margaret. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
So many people with similar stories. I can tell you anecdotally, Margaret represents a lot of mail that we get on the daily, myself included, even after the show. What advice do you have?
My advice isn't a legal advice. Again, it is with regard to leadership.
Mm.
You need to communicate with your staff. You need to say, guys, this is what we've done. We have followed this up with three emails.
Yeah.
We haven't heard anything. We have phoned 702. This is the advice that we got. We are trying all mechanisms and all ways to attempt to get through to find out when that payment is going to take place. What do you guys suggest? How can we help you? It could be, look, I'm starving. Can I please have a 500 Rand loan so I can buy food for my children? It could be something else. So I think in this respect, we are waiting for a payout. They understand, TERS understands that these payments need to be done yesterday. All right. But we are still waiting. They have no issues with our submission. How can we help you? I think communication is key here.
Absolutely.
Staff to understand what is happening from the horse's mouth.
Mm.
And the leader is the horse.
702 World of Work.
18 minutes after 11, it is an open line on labor matters with Natasha Mooney. Let's go straight back to the lines. Ladies, good morning.
Morning, Sky, sir. How are you?
Well, thank you. Go ahead.
Yes, yes. No, my question is, I've got a very, very complicated story here. Okay, here's what happened with me, with my employer. They sent me to a hearing after a lengthy, unhealthy relationship with the manager. And then I got to a hearing, they charged me with three charges. Now, they only give me an opportunity to defend myself against two charges, but they find me guilty on even the charge. They didn't give me an opportunity to make presentation against. I make it known to the company, HR and employee relations, and they just decide to be hitmen. They decide to behave like hitmen, so they falsified the minutes of the hearing, illegally obtained my signature, and I have been up and down trying to find advice as to how do I tackle this. Is this still a labor matter or is it now a criminal matter? Because employee relations is aware and is fully participating and ensuring that there is no adherence to company policy. I've been to the CMA. I'd rather not talk about it.
No, but it's important just for, in order for Natasha to give you advice, what happened at the CCMA?
Okay, I took a matter to the CCMA, two matters to the CCMA, and the CCMA, the commissioners, because now I was representing myself, the commissioners on the one case, he did not take my evidence. He returned everything that I had. He only took evidence from the company, and then the findings came in favor of the company on the one, on both, in actual fact, on both cases. On the other case, the company went to the case not prepared. They did not even have one shred of paper to say this is their evidence. And I was, you know, throwing evidence in salvo, but still the commission ruled in favor of the company. I was even physically assaulted at work. I complained. Well, I'm a person with disability. I'm visually impaired. You know,
Okay, Mr. DC, just hold it there. Yeah. We obviously can't ventilate all the facts, but you've given us a lot to work with. From what you can surmise so far, what is your response, Natasha?
Thank you, Eusebius. I believe if the CCMA did not take the evidence of the applicant, the employee, into account, and the employee can prove that, then he may have a good opportunity or a good case for the labor court. This employee is out of work, and this employee is then able to be assisted by some of the pro bono organizations, one of them being SERS Law Pro Bono, that sits at the labor court. I'm presuming that he's in Johannesburg. It sits at the labor court in Johannesburg. Mm. Eusebius, there are other pro bono organizations that are open and are deemed as essential services at this time. Please remember that the labor court is closed. So you will not be able to start a review application of the various CCMA matters that he has. Mm. It is an expensive process. He will have to pay for the transcription of the record. But after that, the pro bono organization will help him. There will be an attorney there who, if they believe that he has good merits to continue on with the case, they will continue. Please understand that pro bono organizations do get cost orders against them if they continue on a frivolous and vexatious case. Okay, so they are your best, they are the best person to say to you, you have merits for this case or you do not. And then you know whether you can continue or whether you need to stop.
Okay, all the best, my DC. Anna, good morning. Billy, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, Eusebius. Thank you very much. A question for your guest, Natasha. We're a small company and we submitted a claim to UIF. We received a payment which we cannot reconcile at all. We've tried to find details of the actual scale of benefits that we can use to try and calculate how they got to that figure, but there's nothing available. Nobody can help us. And then secondly, I believe there's probably not even one in 100 companies that received the payment from the UIF that received the remittance advice, giving them a breakdown of how it was done. So it's very difficult for us now to try and allocate this money the right way to the employees concerned. Any answers from your guest, please?
Okay. Thank you, Billy.
Thank you, Billy. This is not in my domain or purview, but I believe that it was 30% of the payment to
38, I
the
think,
employee.
Yeah.
38. Okay, so this is really not in my purview. But Eusebius, during the break, I WhatsApped you all the information that I have to assist employees, especially for the TERS fund applications. You can either go to the CCMA under TERS application at ccma.org.za. And I've WhatsApped that to your producer as well, so that at least you can then try another avenue, perhaps, where you can inquire as to what percentage to pay your employees. What is bothering me?
The fact that this
money is still in his trust account, okay, and has not been paid over to employees that need it. And I understand. I mean, pay a particular provision or pay the money saying that I may have to recoup this from your salary later if I find that I have done the incorrect calculation on your salary. Again, communicate with them, but please, for goodness sake, pay them. They have children sitting at home that are starving. Please pay them.
Yeah, my apologies for interrupting. The question was asked of Minister Ngwesi yesterday, the presser. And obviously, those exchanges aren't always as full as we'd like them to be. But the response from the minister was exactly on your point about leadership, Natasha. From his point of view, and employers will have their own version, that some employers are being disingenuous, that when they submit to UIF, part of what is required on the minister's version is payroll to be sent and questions of how much money will be paid to the company and in turn what portion should be given to which employee is all mirroring the payroll of the company. And so if a company does get money that is released from UIF, there's absolutely no reason why that money in turn shouldn't immediately be paid to the employees in turn.
In fact, part and parcel of the UIF giving you this money into a separate bank account opened for just this reason is so that they can see that you have paid it out. Mm. If you are holding on to this money, I can only but think that there will be penalties on you. And I do not believe that it is a good enough excuse to say, well, I don't know what to have paid these people. This is not an ordinary circumstance where you can hold back on money. And I certainly, in terms of social justice, remember that all these non-payment disputes will go to the CCMA. In terms of social justice, what do you think a CCMA commissioner who is in the same boat as everybody else, okay, what do you think the CCMA commissioner is going to say to an employer who hold on to payments?
Absolutely. Wish we had more time. So many more people are calling in, but a really important matter. We're going to have to revisit it. Natasha, thank you so much for your expertise in this slot regularly as well. Thank you for coming on today.
My pleasure.